Welcome to the Los Funnies Podcast, coming to you live from Los Alamitos Racecourse. Curtis, we have arrived. We have made it. It is officially Bank of America Challenge Championship Night here at Los Alamitos.
We have a couple horses coming out here, gonna test the Los Al surface. Well, I don't see a whole lot of horses having a pretty good chance, but if you're looking for prices, they're definitely there. I think they offer some good value. Cowboy Jim was a horse that I didn't include, but I think he might have a shot if he takes to the surface. But that's always the key. How are they going to handle the nighttime racing?
It's going to be a fun week to be here at Los Al. I walked into the parking lot. I see license plates from Colorado, Arizona. That's when you know it's going to be a big weekend.
Yeah, I remember when I went to Sunland and there was New Mexico, there was Oklahoma, yeah. There was Texas. I mean, it was all over. Usually you just see California, but once we get the big races rolling, people are driving into town.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one here at Los Al. Why don't we go back and look at last week's event, Super Derby, and Birth of the Champion of Champions was earned, and this time it went to the T-Rex, the dinosaur.
Yes.
The Clydesdale of quarter horses. Jesse Cartel, he might have broken the best he's ever broken.
Yes.
Once he broke like that, mm-hmm. 5 yards out of the gate, I was like, it's over.
Yeah, he was just in his own little world on the end of the... I tweeted out the final eighth. I think he went 9-4-3 for the final eighth of that straightaway race there. He just looked like a monster. And Cruz wasn't asking him at all.
Not at all.
And the race was just for the rest of the field there. KV and Corona held on for a second. But, I mean, 440's got to be to his liking.
And it's so he's. I think the owners are just over the moon because he was supplemented. He wasn't paid into. He was supplemented. He made the final. He won the final. Almost $1 million there in the final.
Yeah.
And now he earns his berth into the Champion of Champions. And given his stride, he should love the 440.
Yeah, I agree. After a break like that, it was okay. Let's see what he's got, because in the trial he was closing,
yeah,
but he didn't show a monster late kick. But I listened to the interview with Mark Skeen afterwards, and he said that he didn't like being drawn on the outside. He wanted to be within runners, and he's a competitive horse, so once he got people around him, he wanted to go by, and that was to his liking on Super Derby night.
And kudos to KV and Corona. No shame in running second.
Yeah.
The only time he ever lost here at Los Al was in the Super Derby, finishing second, and we learned via Paul Jones. He posted on social media, KV is officially retired.
Yeah, I believe he's going to Lazy E to stand there. He's not going to... We're going to have to bid him farewell here in California. He's going to go do stud duty. But I guess maybe they didn't want to diminish his breeding value. But he was on fire there. I mean, one of the best two-year-old seasons we had ever seen. And, I mean, running second in the Super Derby is no small feat. But I guess they just thought it was time. So we'll have to see his babies in a couple years.
Hopefully we get to see some of his babies in the near future. So that's a wrap-up on the Super Derby. And we're going to look ahead to Saturday's card. It should be a good one here with the AQHA Challenge Championships. But before we do that, lock of the night, 6-1. 6-1 lock of the night.
That's right.
Yeah, that was Shadow of War.
Yes.
7-1, 7-2 on the morning line, went off at 6-1. The wire came up just in time.
Is that the longest price for a lock of the night we've had?
Maybe. I've had another one, but I think for the podcast itself,
That was definitely a good hit. I don't even remember mine, so we don't need to talk about it. I think I've had a string of seconds.
Yeah,
bring in the sad trumpets.
I think it was a second place finish.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but I know the week before that it was Unlimited, who ran second again to
Bestus,
that's right.
For second. Justin Joyner.
Ran second to the favorite, and then before that, Unlimited again. So I got to snap the second-itis.
Yeah, so you're looking forward to tonight's card and maybe get yourself a little bit of redemption. So let's dive in. Saturday night's program here, the Bank of America Challenge Championships here at Los Alamitos. 10 races on tap. We're going to have a few round-the-hook races to begin the card, but it should be a good night of racing. Reminder, NHC Handicapping Contest on track.
Mm-hmm.
A very nice belt buckle for the first 2,400 paid admissions on the track. There's going to be a lot of people going in and out. and paying those $3 admissions.
That's right.
To get a few of those.
The belt buckles have been the hottest giveaway I've seen in a long time. You know, usually it's sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, and we have a lot of different colors. They've stepped up their game there, but these belt buckles, I mean, everybody comes out for those.
They're legit. They're going to be a hot item to watch. And, of course, Mike Smith is going to be on track signing posters.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in the main level of the grandstand signing posters, $25 per poster. All the proceeds will benefit the Sam Townsend Memorial Foundation. So get here early. It should be a fun night. And let's dive into the program. Consensus picks are in the program here. We'll tweet them up as well. I think at LaSalle Racing already tweeted them out. One name missing from the consensus, Quarter GD. That is because he's playing in the contest.
Yep.
So he doesn't want to give a little bit of edge to his competitors.
Exactly. That's his thing. When there's an NHC seat on the line, he says he doesn't want to show any of his cards. He doesn't want to give anybody a helping hand.
He goes into that zero dark 30 like LeBron does for like the playoffs.
Yep.
No social media.
No, he told me. He was like, are you kidding me? Because we had bowling on Wednesday. I said, oh, you do your picks? Are you crazy? There's an NHC tournament on. I'm not giving any of my picks away. So, but his rival, the Beast, Mike Rosenthal, who has won the past two contests,
has he won both?
I believe so. Okay. I think George has told me that, and Berger can maybe confirm later. But he says the only reason he's coming out is to beat George.
Really?
So we have a big rivalry. Nice. I wish there's Pete's on the line in this one.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun way to track down. So you can play in the handicapping contest if you want to here at LaSalle on track. Sign up by the Racing Rewards. That is on the second level of the main grandstand. You can go there and sign up before the race is $400. If there's over 60 entries, that'll be three seats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great value.
Yes.
Three seats to the National Horse Players Championship in Las Vegas. So if there's 60 or under entries, there's two top two get an entry. But even if they get 61, three berths.
Yep. You get a chance at the $1 million prize there. You also get, I believe, four nights paid.
Yeah, you get
It's been at Treasure Island.
Treasure Island.
You get food credit. They'll pay for your travel. So, and like we've said in the past few weeks, if you're just mainly a quarter horse player and you wanted to get into the NHC tournament, but maybe thoroughbreds aren't your strong point, this is the contest for you.
This is the perfect storm to do that as well. All right, let's dive into the program. Race number one, we're going to look at four furlongs here, thoroughbreds, $2,500 claiming tag. Curtis, this is a field of six. The morning line favorite is going to be Freaky Monique, but Freaky Monique has been in Colorado running in Arapahoe, now returns back to Los Alamitos. We know she loves to show that speed. Is she going to be your pick?
You know, if she didn't win that last race in Arapahoe, I probably wouldn't have used her.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like maybe she was coming around. She needed a little time to figure out the surface there in Arapahoe. She comes back here. We see four furlongs is, you know, that's her suited distance. She's already won twice there at the $5,000 level. She comes back here. She's going to drop in for $2,500. She's been off 3 months. You know, I think she's just going to be the speed of the field with Ultimate Game. And Ron Answer's going to press early. But I don't think Ron's Answer can really go with Freaky Monique here. And I like that she's got a little bit of versatility, that she can pass horses and draws a good post. So I'm going to go with her in the first.
And I got to give her credit because once upon a time, she wouldn't pass horses. If she didn't make the clear lead, she would throw in the towel.
Exactly.
That was one of my angles against her. So given that she came from off the pace last time out, I'm a little bit worried about her, but I'm staying with a local runner, you know, Ultimate Game. I've been one of those horses that I've always been kind of on.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't shown a win here at LaSalle for a while, but I like the speed. Kelly McDade, who was in a bit of a slump, is now picking back up. Last week she had a few winners. She looks good in the saddle once again. I'm going to pick Ultimate Game on top. Freaky Monique with that local experience and slightly off the pace is going to be the second choice. Then for third, Ron's Answer there, Eric Garcia, Jorge Farias, a horse that has been leading at first call in the last four starts. We know she's going to be rolling. How fast can she go and how far can she take him?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the question. So for me, 4-5-3 to begin the night.
Yeah, I agree with Ultimate Game. It looked like maybe the claim wasn't working out for Robert Lucas, but in that last race, after a troubled start, Was dueling there and was going against Who Loves Eddie, who I believe was a big favorite that night, and just weakened in the end. But I think maybe Robert Lucas is finally getting this horse going. Kelly stays aboard here, so you get that weight break. So I like Ultimate Game for second. And then in third, I'm going to go with the 2, Miss Bliss here for Jerry Wallace. You know, tried 3,200 last time and just really was never in contention, so drops back down here. And I think this horse is going to be sitting behind the 3, 4, and 5 as they are going to go and all try and ding-dong it on the lead. So should get the stalking trip, but I think it's really going to have to step up the game, but it's going to have to close down the stretch.
Yeah, so we're going to, you know, we expect all those runners to take plenty of play. So I think it's going to be a formful start to the night. I really can't make case for the one winning this race. So recap, I'll go 4-5-3.
5-4-2.
All right, race number 2, the second half of the early double here. We got a few runners that we've seen throughout the year kind of ding-donging and having some good starts. 870 yards is the distance here. And Curtis, lock of the night. Lock of the night for me.
Already?
Already. Race number 2, we keep it simple.
Okay.
And this is probably the most repeated lock of the night throughout the year. You know who I'm talking about?
I mean, you have to be the 3, Hot Bob.
Hot Bob.
Is this the third or fourth lock of the night?
All right, so let's go back. He's won 3 of 5. Mm-hmm. 3 of 6 here, Los Al, but we really jumped on him after that local start here.
Yes.
So he was the lock of the night back in the 26th of May, got the job done, was the lock of the night again because he was in the morning line favorite in June, got the job done. I picked him on top in July, but he wasn't locked because he was a morning line favorite. Mm-hmm. And then he was the lock of the night in that August effort, just beaten by a head there. And last time out, I did not pick him on top. So now we're back on Hot Bob. I think he's going to sit a great trip. We know he doesn't need the lead. Mm-hmm. And I think Monty is all speed. And I think Hot Bob is going to be sitting right there trying to make that move and sweep up for the win.
Yeah, you know, when I started thinking a little bit more about this race, but all my picks were in, so yeah. I had to roll with them. But Hot Bob, it kind of reminds me when I picked against Monty, I picked Towards the Light that night.
Yeah.
And I thought, same thing, could sit a nice trip and hopefully scoop up Monty, who was taking on tougher that night, was going into the allowance race. Well, here Monty's facing open company for the first time. You know, goes from 8,000 to 6,250, but you know this is an open 6,250. I think these horses are a lot better than the 6,250 indicates.
Yeah.
So I think there'll definitely be some claims out of here. But I had to hand it to Monty. You know, been running really good times: 45-16, 45-21, 45-35. I mean, these are lights out times, almost stakes caliber times. Just have to break the 45-second barrier there and draws inside a Hot Bob. Yeah. So I'm just going to see how far Monty can take it here
in
a second.
So you're going Monty. I'm going with Hot Bob as my lock of the night. Of course, I think Monty is the main threat. But for third, I'm going with the house horse, Chuck Trees here.
Oof.
Tenko Every Day there. I was impressed with that win last time out. Don't get me wrong. That was a sharp win. But I just don't think there was enough quality in that field to rival the 2 and the 3.
I agree.
Correct? So I definitely think the 4 is going to be sharp as well, but I'll go 3-2-4 here with the lock of the night being Hot Bob.
Yeah, just a little bit different order here. I went 2-3-4. You know, Thankful Every Day is going to sit the trip. I'm with you there on how tough was that field, because Shadow OP is another Keith Craig mile runner who's like Monty, all speed, but I think Monty's definitely better than Shadow OP. And I like Thankful Every Day to outclose. You know, Stoney's Mr. Cruiser is a good closer, but I think he likes being on the inside a lot more than the outside, so I think that's going to work against him. And the 6-4 Gales does have speed, but that was running against in the daytime, so maybe he's not going to flash that early quickness returning to the nighttime.
Question for you is, do you think Chuck could put in a claim for Hot Bob? I know you told him once. I was like,
yeah, I wish he would have a long time ago.
Now, do you think it's still viable to put in a claim?
Yeah, I could see maybe going Monty, maybe Hot Bob. We'll have to see which one.
Because if you think about it, this is the lowest Hot Bob has been since he was up for 3,200.
That's what I mean. A lot of these horses in here, you got really quality runners, and could easily go right back up to 8,000.
Yeah.
You could. I think this would be an interchangeable $8,000 race. So I think you could claim either one of these and go right up, and somebody takes your horse, you run a good race, and they claim for 8, you make a little profit.
All right, so that's it. That's race number 2. Race number 3 here. We're going to have our first stakes race of the night here, and this is the Stotts Equipment Stakes. And for people that are betting the horses on Friday night, you might see the Tack Me Up is scratched on Friday to run in here. 7-5 on the morning line, Tack Me Up. He looked terrific last time out.
Yes.
Are you with or against the lay steel?
You know, I talked Caleb into throwing this horse in that one night, and he praised me, but tonight I got to go against Tack Me Up. Even after that superb effort at 350 yards, ooh, I'm going to, you know, just try and catch a little bit of a bounce.
You're going Striver, right?
No.
What?
I'm going the three delayed steel. Yes, okay. I'm going to go with a little bit of a price. You know, it's only a five-horse field, yes, so you got to take what you can get here, but I thought Delayed Steel looked awfully well going in that maiden win last time out, won by a length and a half, and Ramon wasn't really moving before that. Had a game effort there in the fraternity trial after a bump start, but what I really am going to key in on here is the debut effort when he gave Tack Me Up all he could handle at a big price. There was 16-1, but he was only a neck back, and they were going the whole time, so hopefully just the added 50 yards this time, Delayed Steel can outfinish Tack Me Up.
And by the way, yeah, I think you're going to get the third choice at Poolside no matter what.
I think so,
because I think the two's going to take the favoritism. The four's going to get bet because already being a multiple futurity finalist in the year, already earned $103,000 for Juan Carlos Chavez. So I think no matter what, I think you should get the third post-time choice in Delayed Steel. I'm going with the gate speed of Striver, just drawing outside the main two rivals. If this horse breaks like she always does, you know, draw a line through that effort last time out. If she breaks like she did early in her career, I think she's going to get the jump on these runners. She's not the best finisher. I think 350 is probably her optimal distance.
I agree.
But I think if she gets a jump out of the gate, and given how Vinny has been riding as of late on these quarter horses, I'm going to take a shot here with Striver from post number four. I'll go 4, 2, 3. Pretty obvious for those three.
Yeah, I went 3, 2, 4. You know, Tack Me Up, just like we said, already qualified for two fraternities. Definitely the horse to beat here. And Striver qualifying to three. Vinny's been breaking these horses out of the gate. Last time was just off slow and bumped at the start. But, you know, the question is, can she get the start on Delayed Steel and Tack Me Up and try and hold him off on the end?
It's going to be the question there to ask. So that's the first stakes race of the night in race number three. Race number four, the closeout leg of the early pick four. We got the Stablewood Farm Stakes, 400 yards is the distance. Field of eight set to post. Morning line favorite is going to be tough to figure at a slight 2-1. Who's going to be your pick here in this race?
I'm going to go to the two with You Can Fly, okay. Mike Castle and Caesar. Last time just ran into
a monster
effort who we're going to talk about later, who's in the Z-Wayne Trials, Riptide. Riptide just looked amazing that night, went 16.65, but You Can Fly didn't really break that night and rallied nicely, outfinished We Like Corona, who isn't the same We Like Corona from the past, but still outfinished that horse. I just like the way that she was moving late, and she's run against a lot of tough horses, Thermonuclear Energy, Zooming for Spuds. You can see Miss Jess Knockout. But another key here, get Caesar back aboard, and Caesar's ridden this horse really well both times that I see on the page, has one win, and then a fifth, only losing by a neck. So hopefully Caesar can reunite this horse and get her going again.
I can't talk you off, You Can Fly. This was a race where I had a very tough time separating the top three. I went 6-5-2, but I can go three deep, or I can jumble him around, and either way, it's kind of like a little bit of a flip coin for me, who I was going to pick on top.
Yeah.
I just think it's a three-horse race, and I think they're all evenly matched. I'll go 5, I'll go 6-5-2, I'll give the edge to Tough to Figure just slightly, just because of that good run last time out. Tough to Figure has been a runner that, for me, she's always teased to be kind of one of the horses in the middle to higher kind of stakes caliber runners, but she never put it all together back-to-back. That's what's been holding her back. But I like the win last time out. She's been freshened. And I think if she can get a little bit of that gate speed back, she's going to be tough to beat. So 6-5-2 for me, pretty obvious with those top three.
Yeah, I had Tough to Figure in second. The one big angle you mentioned, just has never put two races back-to-back. And she's really going to have to do well here tonight to beat Maggie Durant and You Can Fly. And like you said, I went 5, Maggie Durant there. You know, had lost the form, but Maggie Durant in the past was a top filly here, and then ran that lights out 15.38 at the 300-yard distance, but stretching back out to the 400 yards. Lynn Melton's really going to have to get this filly to go forward and make another step again. We'll just see if she can repeat that 15.38, but I see 20.02, 20.26. I don't think this race is going to go too fast. I think it's going to go low 1990s, I'm assuming. But yeah, I agree with the same horses. I'm going 2-6-5.
All right, that's race number four. Race number five, it is the Dreams Come True Ranch Stakes. $25,000 is the purse. 400 yards, a compact field of five. And Curtis, am I reading this right? Lock of the night coming up here?
That's right. It's going to be, we're not even going to get into the later part of the card before we get our locks away. I'm going to go to the two. Just bet me. This horse, ever since coming to Rodolfo Viramontes, has really blossomed. You know, Ramiro's Lazo Lopez had this horse. It wasn't running that well. And Rodolfo Viramontes got this horse. It has looked like a monster ever since. You know, didn't really break that well last time in a field of five. I just love the acceleration. Outfinished One Hot Habit, who I have picked later on tonight. Then on Champions Night, looked really well against Diamond Blue Eyes.
Wait. Stop.
What?
What is going on here?
What? Is there something?
Wait, what is going on? Your lock of the night is just bet me?
Yeah, of course.
But I'm looking at the consensus in the Nine Lines, and you have Twisted Sifter on top. What is going on here?
Wait, are you telling me the professor is playing games with consensus again?
I'm just telling you what he does. I'm just telling you what's printed in the Nine Lines. I'm seeing the Hitman's top three picks. Twisted Sifter on top, just met me, and mesmerizing. What's going on?
Yeah, I tell professor, you can't do this. There's thousands of dollars being wagered here. You cannot get the emails wrong. So, again, here's just another one. He's trying to retain the title by switching my picks. I mean, who does he have in there?
All right. So, on top, he has Twisted Sifter,
yes.
Just Bet Me, Mesmerizing. The Hitman, Twisted Sifter, Just Bet Me, Mesmerizing.
So, he doesn't want to lose any ground in that race.
He's canceling your picks in that race.
Well, don't worry. I'm setting the record straight now. Lock the night. Right. Just Bet Me. And then I'm going Twisted Sifter to Mesmerizing.
All right, so lock of the night there for Curtis coming with Just Bet Me. And guess what? I'm not even going to add anything to it because my top three, Just Bet Me on top, is my pick as well.
Okay.
The five, Twisted Sifter for second, and the four is Mesmerizing for third. Nothing to add to. I think Just Bet Me. We talked about this horse was very game on California Breeder Champions Night, second at 6-1 behind Diamonds Blue Eye.
Mm-hmm.
This horse gave me a very nice exacta. Remember that night? I had Diamonds Blue Eye on top. I think, 11-1 or 15-1 or something like that. So Just Bet Me there has been good to me. I like the improvements in switching to this barn. I like her him on top as well. So 2-5-4 for me and 2-5-4 for Curtis
exactly
as well. We have to talk with Professor G.
I told you. That's what, when George first started, I said, make sure you check your email because he'll switch them around on you and try and get away with it.
All right, race number six, the Grade 1 Cox Ranch Distance Challenge Championship, $100,000 on the line. Field of six, Mahoney and Tackleberry coming in from Zia, Redoso, Albuquerque, Sunray, the New Mexico Invader, 7-5 on the morning line for Chris O'Dell and Vinny Bednar.
I'm going right to it. I'm going Mahoney and Tackleberry. The main thing, I think the best 870 horse in the country is Zoomin Racer, who he's not here tonight, or for tomorrow night for these races, but Mahoney and Tackleberry took it to this horse twice.
Yes.
He was DQ'd last time when he beat Zoomin Racer, and then three outs back, he dueled, and he was right there the whole way with Zoomin Racer. Before that, reeled off three victories in a row, but you know, two outs back there in the Bill Reed, had to steady briefly. It doesn't show that in the comments lines, but you know, just finished evenly, so you could throw out it wasn't a poor effort. He had an excuse, but I like that this horse has a little bit of versatility that has shown that he can pass horses or go to the front end. I think that's pretty huge here.
Yeah, so Mahoney and Tackleberry is going to be your pick. This is where my long shot play of the night comes in. No, it's not the 1 at 6-1. No, it's not the 3 at 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
How about the 4? Amir Icon 15-1. I went back, dug the tapes, rewinded, reloaded, pressed fast forward.
As all good handicappers should do.
And I went all the way back to the Distance Challenge at Turf Paradise in April when this horse faced Mickey War, Railroad, He's a Bugging.
Yes.
They're basically, this is a rematch of that distance. And what did I see? Amir Icon loaded with run in the last final yards, steady behind horses, should have won that race. Now, he's had a few efforts against claiming $10,000 levels here at LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
But those are some sharp runners. Pick One, Hot Bob, Rocky Show, El Coreano. A little bit of off efforts. Has been off now. Been freshened. Matt Phelps can pop at a price. This is going to be my long shot play of the night. I'm going with the 4, Amir Icon on top. Mickey Ward, the other Matt Phelps runner, is going to be my second choice.
Okay.
And then Mahoney and Tackleberry is going to be my third choice. So 4-6-2 for me. Long side of the night, Amir Icon.
Yeah, I agree with Mickey Ward. This is a horse that knows LoSalle. Last time, maybe it was just a speed sharpening there at 550, but broken, bumped repeatedly, lost all chance he can throw out. But I like that he draws outside. He's got his main man, Jorge Bordeaux, coming in, mm-hmm. who won that challenge race you spoke of. He won it by 5 1/4 lengths. Draws outside here, but he is really going to have to take another step forward. But I think he is second best in here. My long shot, he's only sitting at 9-2,
yeah.
but is a big question mark for me is the 5. He's yeah. a bug in here. Uh-huh. He comes in. I went and watched all his replays. He was racing against lesser foes, but this is a big horse who takes a little bit of time to get going, and sometimes he just breaks slow, but he can rush up, and he really gets going late. But if he makes any mistake at the gate, it could be all over here for him.
And don't forget, Hector Magallanes has been a trainer that has done well from out of state. He's had runners consistently here since... I want to say the PCQHRA weekend,
yeah,
where we had a lot of the out-of-state connections. He brought some runners, and he stayed here throughout. He's run a few of them, so he's looking for a big win here with He's a Buggin'. So, recap, I'll go 4-6-2.
2-6-5.
All right, race number 7, the John Deere Juvenile Challenge Championship. Grade 2, 350 yards. Two-year-olds here. Field of 10. 1-9 favorite is going to be the 7, Just Send It. Shout out to Paul Jones and Keen Nelson, Ramon Sanchez. There were the much troubled favorites in the Wild West Futurity. 5-2 on the morning line. Who's gonna be your pick here in race number 7?
I'm going right to the winner of the Wild West. Going KR High 5 yeah. along the rail.
Like
Jaime
that.
Gomez, Jose Nicasio. I think this horse has been improving each start at Los Alamitos. Maybe we still haven't even seen the best. You know, had a troubled start last time and rallied. Same thing before that. Broken, bumped, and strong finish. I think is drawn along the inside, won't get into too much trouble with the two singles Cruz, who can have trouble breaking at times. He can get away, and we're going to get second choice here over Ooh, Just
yeah,
Send It.
I think so. No matter what, I think the seven will get bet, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was the favorite going in
yes.
there. I think we all thought it was Just Send It's race to lose, and just we didn't even get to see it run.
No.
Just lost all chance there at the start, but... So I think that's another little bit of added value here for KR High 5, a horse that you know has won 3 in a row, and you're going to get 3-1 here again in the John Deere.
And I actually like the inside post. You know, mm-hmm. I like the rail. He's won from the rail before, 3 starts back. He's got that, being on the rail, he's got that extra little wiggle room to kind of get into stride, but he can finish.
Yeah.
He just needs a little bit of room to get going. So I'm going to pick KR High 5 on top as well. Just Send It for second. No surprises there. He was ultra impressive in that trial win 2 starts back behind Ladies of Cartel. Ladies of Cartel is a sharp runner
yes.
as well. So Just Send It is going to be my second choice. And Capital Grill at 8-1 is going to be my third choice there for John Cooper. Eddie Garcia jumping aboard for the first time. A horse at second behind Coleman 47, second behind Esselin. Fell last time out and was walked off the track. Eddie Garcia jumping aboard for the first time is interesting to me at 8-1. So I'll go 1-7-8 here in the John Deere Challenge Championship.
Yeah, I went 1-7, and then I'm going to go to the two-horse singles cruise, the Canadian Invader
yeah, mm-hmm.
from Century Downs. The only horse this horse has lost to is a horse that my dad picked out in the Los Al Equine sale, a half to Tuffy, I believe, Always Right.
Yeah.
So Chuck Stojan, we got some Los Al connections there.
Yeah.
But... she rallied really nice last time, but 2 outs ago in that Futurity trial, just broke slow, really came flying on at the end. Saul jumps aboard, goes to, you know, Paul Jones, top quarter horse trainer. Hopefully he can get this one moving forward. I just think needs a good start, and maybe we'll get a, finally, I'm looking for a horse from out of town
yeah.
to get a straightaway race here in the 7th.
All right, to recap, I'll go 1-7-8.
1-7-2.
Race number 8, the final pick 3 of the night. The Adequan Derby Challenge Championship. Great 3 here. $150,000 is the purse. Field of 10 set to post. Morning night favorite is going to be the 5-horse SE Vapor Trail, who seems to love here this track. Mike Robbins, Jesus Ayala. They're going to be breaking from post number 5. Are you with or against SE Vapor Trail?
I didn't even use SE
wow.
Vapor Trail. I just
chucked like
it out completely.
I like this.
I'm going with
you know
someone.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
SE Vapor Trail is not in my top 3 as well.
Oh, so there you go. I mean...
are we going to get burned here?
No, I think we talked about some of these older Robbins runners who tend to tease, but yeah, I'm going to the 3, Mi Amor Secreto, here for my favorite
we
connection.
We agree.
Here.
Wow.
From out of state, mm-hmm. The Carrizales family.
Yes.
Santos Carrizales. We got Edamiro Carrizales.
Uh-huh.
I actually singled this horse 3 back and 4 back in those challenge races. He beat Corona Ranger, he beat SC Vapor Trail, and actually beat SC Vapor Trail in that fraternity trial going in there. But this horse has a strong late kick. He just needs to get out of the gate to show it. After those races, went on to face really tough horses that, you know, some of the top in the country. Intense Fire, Hierarchy, Believe Me, Irene, Papaw's Pain. Those are all some of the top horses at Rio Doso. So being within 3/4 of a length in that one, had trouble in the first down dash, I think is back in here with the easier company. Let's just get out so we can show that late kick.
You know what? This is going to be a key race here because Professor G has SC Vapor Curl on top. So this could be a deciding race for the belt right here in race number 8.
Does he have the 3 at all?
He's got, you know, More Secreto for second.
Okay.
So he's sitting pretty.
I was hoping maybe he'd just throw her out completely. But.
No, but I agree with you with Mia More Secreto, a horse that we've seen do well at Ruidoso, a horse that we see do well at Houston, at Sam Houston. Didn't get out to a great start last time out and just ran a flat effort. It's been freshened. Gets the flipping halter here back at Los Al. I think the 3 is going to run a big race here for the Curry Salads connection. So I'll go 3, 7, 10. The 7 wall cut there. A horse, 4 wins in a row. Has won 5 out of the last 6. Has won 2 stakes in those events and has looked good doing it there. Mm-hmm. A game winner last time out by a neck, but had to work for it. And I like that the second place finisher was clear by about a length of the third place finisher. So Walcott is legitimate for me in this spot. 5 for 9 lifetime, loves to win races. I think he's the main threat to the 3. The 10, Corona Ranger, a horse that just ran behind Mi Amor Secreto 3 starts back. Behind Mi Amor Secreto 3 starts back, yeah. I like the outside draw here. Agustin Silva, the regular rider that was aboard those efforts, ships out to ride here for John Steinbaugh. John Steinbaugh, I think the outside post is here. Is key here for this horse there. So 3, 7, and 10 for me in race number 8.
Yeah, 7, we were talking earlier. I think Walcott is probably the biggest invader that I left out that I'm a little bit scared of because this horse carries a lot of gate speed, has been rolling lately. I just thought it was at Arapahoe and Prairie Meadows, and I go back to the challenge race. He was against Mi Amor Secreto and Corona Ranger SC Vapor Trail and ran 4th in there. So that's why I didn't include him, but I think he does have a shot if he gets out. I went to the 8, Painted Dynasty second. Going to have 8-1 here. Beat High Valley Girl. That is the 4 in here. And Valero, the 6. Mm-hmm. This horse, if he gets out, can be right there. But it looks like it's an all or nothing. It's either he breaks and is right there, or he doesn't break and he's nowhere near it. So I'm hoping that Jason Olmstead gets this horse ready. It could pop and drop a nice little price. And then I'm going to go to the outside 10, Corona Ranger, who we liked when it first debuted here, but was along the inside, stumbled and got forced in a little, but I thought finished out really well to Platke and Favorite Bling, the 2 horse in here. But draws outside here, and like you said, regular rider Agustin Silva comes in. Steinbaugh must think this horse is ready. He needs his main man in the saddle. Mm-hmm. So Corona Ranger, I believe, was on Burghardt's list as long shots to watch for this night as well. So give him a big look on the outside.
Yeah, all right, recap, 3, 7, 10?
3, 8, 10.
All right, there's 2 races left. You know what time it is.
The Late Daily Double!
And this is a very good Late Daily Double. We got the AQHA Distance Challenge Championship, grade 1, $100,000 here is the purse, 400 yards, a field of 10. The morning night favorite is going to be One Sweet Racy, even money on the line. Are you with or against?
I am with One Sweet Racy. I think this is going to be one of the keys for everybody. You know, at one time ran second in the All-American Derby there for Trey Wood. Came out to Los Al for Jaime Gomez. It just didn't work. So, you know, returned to Remington and Trey Wood's care and Mike Joyner. Kind of returned to form. Then came out to Chris O'Dell, and this horse looked like her old self again. Really ran well. Then came back out again, beat One Hat Habit and Duck Dash and Go in that challenge race. And then right there again in the Millie Vessels, was poised to run a big one again, but just Raven on the comeback. Just ran a really strong race there at 1952. I think if Just Raven wasn't in there, One Sweet Race, he is definitely your winner. So I think looks double tough here in the 9th.
Yeah, it's just tough to build a case against this one. Just Raven stamped herself as a horse to watch in the Champion of Champions. She's sitting in the bench there waiting for the big event. But yeah, nothing wrong with running second behind that horse. Two wins before that. Just look at the record. 3 wins, 5 seconds, 4 starts. She always seems to be in the mix of things.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to beat her, so I'm going to pick her on top as well. But if there's someone that can beat her out of the gate, it's going to be the 6, Duck Dash and Go.
Okay.
And I think that she's drawn right next to the 5. Once you're racing, I think Duck Dash and Go could get the jump on. And if Jose Nicasio outbreaks his brother, Eduardo Nicasio, I think he's going to be looking to drift out a bit.
You think there's going to be some gain? Take a little bit over that pass.
I mean, Jose Nicasio has been terrific out of the gate. Monte Arosa, shout out a fellow podcast listener. Mm-hmm. I think we're up to 9 listeners now.
Excellent.
So we're growing by the minute. Duck Dash and Go there is going to be my main threat to the 5. And then the long shot play in this race. 12-1, Tickle Your Fancy on the outside for Hector Magallanes. A horse that loves to win races. 14-25 lifetime. Off slow last time out. That was the first time at Los Al. Now, she's gotten time to get used to the surroundings. She got some experience last time out. Draws the outside. You got a high percentage trainer and a high percentage winning horse. Second time out of La Salle on the outside post. 12-1. You could build a case there. So 5, 6, 10 for me here in race number 9.
Yeah, I agree with you on Tickle Your Fancy. I put her in the third position. I think was one of the better Magallanes runners to come in from out of state. Yep. I think we've expected a lot better efforts than shown, but has just had trouble in the Los Al debut, and before that, another troubled beginning. So, but before that, the form was lights out. So I'm going to go to this one again on the outside. Hopefully can just get a better start here with no runners to the outside of her, and maybe we can finally see what this filly has to offer. For second, I went to the 9, One Hot Habit, who's been a teaser. Yep. I think there's been at times we think this is going to be one of the better fillies on the ground. It has a big light kick, but just couldn't get up. Almost closed on one sweet racy in that challenge race. Only lost by a neck after being down by over a length. The question is, can she be close enough early to run down one sweet racy?
That is the question for One Sweet Habit. One Hot Habit, excuse me, but no doubt that she's talented. All right, recap, I go 5, 6, 10?
5, 9, 10.
All right, race number 10, the featured event, the Grade 1 Bank of America Challenge Championship. $250,000 on the line. Field of 11 here in the Challenge Championship. 440 yards, the classic quarter horse distance, 3-year-olds and up. The winner earns a berth into the Grade 1 Champion of Champions. Who is going to be the winning horse, Curtis?
I'm going to the 2. Katie, whoa, easy move. Monty, let's go.
Yes.
Get him ready. I want to see that same effort last time. If this horse goes 21-38 again, we're going to the winner's circle.
And the first 200, 300 yards last time out, he looked like a winner.
Yeah.
He looked like he was going to win it at 33-1.
Usually, I don't like horses that break that good, but this horse has been breaking sharp and been there early against, and I love the way it finished. In that challenge race with BH Lisa's Boy and Hold Air Hostage, where the story was BH Lisa's Boy running down Hold Air Hostage. But if you look, Katie's Easy Moves was finishing right there. So I think definitely the forgotten horse there looked really strong last time, almost stole it there at 33-1. I think this is an easier field to say. You know, it doesn't have Helix Hot, Bodacious Eagle, Tarzanito. Those horses, I think, were really on their game right now. So that's 3 runners you don't have to worry about. I think BH Lisa's Boy is her main rival here. But I'm going to try and get Monte Rosa and Eduardo Nicasio here
agree
in the
again.
Challenge Championship.
We agree again. Katie's Easy Moves. Look, if I can get 3-1, I'm betting to win.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to get 3-1. But all I know is that if he runs like he's been running the last 4 starts, he should win this race.
Exactly.
I mean, that was for sure the best Robert Bonifaz Los Alamitos Invitational Championship ever.
Yes.
We talked about how strong that field was, and this horse was looking like a winner up to the last final yards or so. So Eduardo Nicasio stays aboard. If Katie's Easy Moves repeats that effort, I think everybody else is running for second. Who's running for second? BH Thesis Boy, the other quality runner. The big thing for me, reuniting with Cesar de Alba.
Yep.
Cesar holds the keys to this horse. If there's one horse that I thought, I think tonight's a night to play against, and has always proving me wrong, it's BH Thesis Boy.
Uh-huh.
Whenever he always tends to fire when Cesar's aboard, and I think Cesar getting back aboard is going to be a good thing for BH Thesis Boy. And then I'll go to the outside. I can't believe you're tossing Hold Their Hostage.
You're going to go with them?
You're quitting?
I mean, the way he's been finishing, 440 is not to this horse's liking. I mean, nobody is a bigger fan of Hold Air Hostage. I can come out here and tout him all the time, and he's made me look like an idiot. I figured he would come out to Los Al, and he would already be one of the favorites to win the Champion of Champions, yeah. But the way it's going, I couldn't go with him tonight.
So I'm interesting. I'm going 2-4-11. How are you going in this spot?
I'm
going
to go right next to him. I'm going to go 2-4-10, Corona Jump
1, okay.
The Brazilian runner. I think this is a race they've been pointing to all along. First time at Los Al, was hard to ride down there along the inside. We'll just throw a line through that. Last time out was finishing a little bit better, and so I think this horse has been pointing to the Bank of America the whole time. It's drawn next to Hold Air, where I don't think going to get in too much trouble because of how good a breaker Hold Air Hostage is. I'm just going to hopefully see that this horse likes the extra distance here. It hasn't even gone 400 at Los Al, but you see in the form in Brazil has won 2 440-yard races.
Yeah, this horse, you can build a long shot case, that's for sure, especially a horse that only has one local start. I don't think we've seen the best of this horse, but that's definitely an interesting long shot, and I think you're going to get a pretty good price.
I think so, yeah. I maybe just a cowboy was one I was looking at that probably would have taken some price in there, but I think Corona Be Gone fast and hassle. I don't think they'll get bet that much, and maybe because of the Paul Jones connections, Ramon Sanchez, he might get bet down a little, but I don't see him going under 15-1.
That's a field of 11 for the Grade 1 Bank of America Challenge Championship, the classic quarter horse distance of 440 yards, and Curtis and I are in agreement. KD's Easy Moves repeats that effort. He's the horse to beat. All right, before we look ahead into Sunday's C1 Griffin trials, two trials there to determine the last couple of, I think right now it's two.
Yeah.
It could be more depending on what things change in the next month or so. But right now there's two spots up for grabs in the C1 Griffin direct of trials.
Yeah, I think Jesse's First Down holds one berth from winning the Remington Park Championship. I don't think Jesse's First Down is probably going to come out. The question mark, I think, is will Hot Stepper come out? I think we're hoping to see him come out for the Champion of Champions. I think I've heard the connections say they are pointing towards coming out here, but if those horses don't come out, that could be possibly two more berths.
All right, that is going to be races 8 and 9 on Sunday night here at Los Al. Two trials, the two fastest earned berths to the Champion of Champions. So we're going to see a lot of interesting quality runners coming out of the Robert Boniface, for example, and the championship turn back here in this spot. So 400 yards is the distance. Race number 8 there, the first trial of 2. Field of 7, and the morning line favorite is going to be He's the Dash of Fire at 4-5. Does he get in? Does he make it back into the Champion of Champions?
I think he's going to have to run really well. I don't think he's looked the same, even in the Spencer Childers. I think they ran him a little sick. He did well in that, but last time out, he did not look good last time. They were kind of babying him in the paddock when I was watching him on the TV screen. Mm-hmm. I really hadn't seen that before. Jose Flores says he is doing well. This time around, he's doing a lot better than the last race. If he returns to form, I think he's definitely going to be one of two, but I picked against him here.
Ooh, who are you going with?
I went to the 5. One of my old favorites, Bodacious Eagle.
Yeah.
I went for Justin Joyner, Cody Jensen here. I had him there in the Robert Boniface. I was hoping he would upset He Looks Hot, but we just couldn't get him there. He was 10-1. But I think this is a horse that's in form right now, and there's no question marks about him. He breaks strong. Yankee to the inside, can break slow, so I think he'll probably have an open path to the inside, even if maybe He's the Dash of Fire bumps him a little. But I really like him to go straight and strong here in the 8th.
Ooh, Bodacious Eagle there. Justin Joyner, Cody Jensen, a horse that just finished second last time out. You know what? That's the night I played a small. I hit the pick 6 and I played a small ticket.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have Bodacious Eagle. I went 4 deep, and you know, I know you and George liked him, but my ticket was already set, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, who's going to, as a horse player, I'm like, who's going to hurt me? If I don't have this horse, who's going to hurt me if he wins?
Yeah.
And that horse was He Looks Hot.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been a huge supporter of He Looks Hot. He was like my lock of the night 2 starts back when he ran a even 4th or whatever. So I had to use He Looks Hot slightly over Bodacious Eagle, and I just got the Bob there by a head. But no doubt, Bodacious Eagle looks strong, but I'm not picking the 5.
Okay.
I'm not picking the six.
Okay.
Now, you might be thinking, oh, you're picking Yankee. No, I'm not picking Yankee.
Okay, good. I didn't want to have to send you to get your head examined after I jumped on the Yankee bandwagon. But, okay, who's your pick?
Rip Tide.
Okay, excellent.
Can he run a good race like he did last time out? If he can, he's going to be in the mix of things. I mean, he was blazing fast last time out. 1665 was in hand, looked like a horse with a target. This horse crushed that night. Maybe we'll have to see how You Can Fly runs early in the card on Saturday, and then maybe we can gauge if Riptide is gonna live up to that very good herd. But if he runs back to this, I think he can make it. I think he can get the jump on the five and the six. I'm picking the three on top. 3-6-5 for me here on trial on race number eight.
Yeah, I like the same horses, 5-6-3. We talk about those Robbins horses being teasers. You Can Fly is a good horse. Is it an upper tier horse? No, but he beat a horse like that like you should.
Yes,
he went 1665, just a monster effort. I really think you're just picking this horse because it's gray.
that
maybe,
could be true.
Maybe, but you're getting a great price here at 8-1. Jesus Ayala aboard. That could be a nice little upset here in the eighth.
But you know I would love to see Yankee in a big final going 440 yards. You know I would. If he ever breaks. We know he can close. Now, what about this storyline?
Go ahead.
Oscar Andrade Jr. gets to ride for his dad, Oscar Andrade, who's the owner of Jess Mas, for his mom, Elena Andrade, who's a trainer and who's also the breeder of Jess Mas. So a lot of ties going to the one Jess Mas. And it's not like she's without a shot. She's a very nice filly. She draws a rail. Young Oscar Andrade, 15-1 on the rail.
Yeah, how about your fifth career start, and you're riding a race to qualify you to the Champion of Champions? But yeah, Jess Mas, you're going to get a good price on this horse. But you know, we have seen that it can be competitive if she can just get out of the gate. She can hang in there. Another long shot. I hear Firing Tools for Jose Flores is doing well. I'm not a fan of that horse. I'm just passing along some information that I heard. But yeah, I think the runners we talked about. Should be right there. One of them is not going to be able to get in.
No.
And who knows? That might not even leave anybody to get in the ninth race.
Correct.
So, I'm just going to go 5-6-3.
All right. So, race number nine, the second and final trial for the Champion of Champions. We got a field of seven. We agreed that the first trial looks to be more heavily stacked as far as quality. But Royalties Authority is going to get the 2-1 morning line favoritism from the rail. Cesar Diaba, the last time he rode this horse, how about a grade two win there in the Cahuilla Bar?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with or against Royalties Authority?
I'm with him. I think this could finally be the coming out party that we've all hoped for Royalties Authority that we saw at the beginning of the year when he was reeling off those rapid wins early on. Then got tested for class there, won the Cahuilla Bar, but after that, just kind of got lost in the mix there. It had to go against He's a Dash of Fire, but then came back again and Go Man Go, ran second to Tarzanito, came back in the Robert Boniface and got bumped both sides at the start, but draws along the inside here, ran a monster race from the inside of 1668, going 330 yards. So I think this could be a really good race for Royalties Authority.
I'm going to stick with him. He was my lock of the night way back when in the Cahuilla Bar at 7-2. Going to pick him on top here with Cesar Diaba reuniting. When this horse can get a little bit of a kind of class relief off of that big Los Alamitos Championship field, I think this horse could be in a good spot. For second, I'm going to the three LDS back, a horse that we know can close like with some of the best horse on the ground.
Yeah.
Also, he's kind of got that Yankee mentality. He doesn't really break, but when he breaks, he can really kick it on.
Yep.
Ramon Sanchez jumping aboard for the first time. Jaime Gomez has been using him more, Ramon Sanchez. And he's been doing good for this barn.
Oh, so yeah.
I'll go 1, 3, and 4, zooming for spots. Can Monte Rosa get zooming for spuds, the winner of the 2016 Champion of Champions, back into this year's edition?
Yeah. I like the same exact order. I like 1, 3, and 4. The only reason I don't really like zooming for spuds is that he's already qualified for the Champion of Champions, so he doesn't necessarily need to win that race. I think they're just going the route they did last year. And it worked to their advantage where they had a Z-Wayne race right before the Champion of Champions, and they only lost by a half a length there to Mr. PYC to you, and He's a Dash of Fire. So you're kind of looking at it like, you know, do you really need to run in this race? You just raced in October, but Monty's sticking with the training regimen, and hopefully he proves everybody wrong.
It's going to be a fun two trials, the last two spots for the Championship Champions up for grabs. So we covered Saturday, covered Sunday, but I've got a little bit of question. I think it was last week. We're after the races. I'm walking out, and we're walking out together, and I see you holding a little bit something in your arm. And what did I see? Hitman holding a signed picture from Bret the Hitman Hart himself, signed to Curtis.
I mean,
how did you get this connection?
A fellow Twitter follower who has become a Los Al follower, Danny Penuelos is his name. He's new to Los Al, but he's a wrestling buff just like me. And he went to the Bret Hart signing that they had, and he said, would you like me to get one? Because they had already sold out.
Uh-huh.
So I said, yeah, man, that would be awesome. You know, I have the glasses. I have the jersey.
Wow.
And now I have a signed autograph picture of him, so I need to get something framed. The wife wasn't really happy that much, but, you have one idol, you got to do what you can to get those autographs.
Hey, shout out. What is his name again? Let's give him a shout out again.
Danny Penuelos.
Hey, Danny. Great job. Hey, that was nice. That was nice. Framed and ready to go.
Yep, I was really happy about it. You know, he didn't have to buy me the frame, but he did anyway. And, he's been playing Los Al a lot more. He's been making it out. He's actually not coming because he's going to the pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
So he's not going to be able to get his belt buckle.
Wait, where's the pay-per-view at?
I believe it's there's an NXT one, and then there's a one at Staples.
Okay.
And so that's why he's not going to be able to make it out, but he said, would you be able to get me a belt buckle? And I said, you know what? You got me that picture. I'll get you two belt
buckles
if you want them.
There you go. So if maybe, so he's missing it for a big event.
Yes.
Hopefully this guy shows up.
Oh!
Yeah, if that guy shows up to the pay-per-view, if he's scheduled to be there,
yes.
Hey, it's worth it.
He's been battling lately. He's been fighting Shawn Michaels and Triple H, a couple of the Attitude Era guys going at it. I mean, that's...
This guy?
Oh,
Shawn Michaels?
God. Why do you have to play that? You know I'm a Hitman fan. Shawn Michaels is the scum of the earth.
And the game too, as well.
I hate Triple H.
Oh man, the screw job.
Yeah.
With Shawn Michaels. I mean.
No, you're bringing up horrible flashbacks. But I hate Shawn Michaels. But if there's a guy I hate more, it's Triple H because all he was Shawn Michaels' lackey.
He's a hateable character.
Yeah, and everybody is put him up there in the top 10. I said, you know, he wasn't even in the top 5 when he was an Attitude Era guy.
No.
So how could you even put him in the top 10 of all time? Yeah. Shawn Michaels was better. The Rock, Stone Cold, maybe even Mankind were better. Yeah, I don't know. You're getting me all heated up.
So that's a little bit of what? Yeah, I seen that big frame and I seen the Curtis. I was like, what? Bret the Hitman Hart?
Yeah, that was very special.
I thought you had gotten away here and snuck away or done something.
I wish I could have met him that day. I'll just have to wait for the next time around.
All right, so that's a little bit of the races here at Los Al. Anything else for the after show?
I think that's it. Time to go to work.
Come out to Los Al, get your belt buckle, bet on the AQHA Challenge Championship night here at Los Al. We're looking forward to next week. 2 million trials next week.
Yes, I mean, the fun doesn't stop here at the end of the year. We have 2 million, we have Champion of Champions, and then to cap it off, we always have the Southern California Derby at the end of the year.
We need to talk to Professor G. We need to talk to Professor
G. I told you.
There's some funny things going around this place.
I told you. Do people think that are conspiracy theories? And no, they are true, and I have evidence.
All right, let's end the show on a good note. All right, shout out to Daniel for that
Thank
very
you, Danny.
Nice signed picture. All right, Danny. Good luck with your bets. Thanks for getting that for Curtis. He'll have a couple of belt buckles coming your way.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay tuned. I'm gonna get some from Professor G, and we'll figure out a giveaway. I want to give out to some people that are not local. I want to give away some belt buckles here if they want them.
Definitely. Yeah. Maybe we could have some kind of trivia contest. Maybe we come up with a trivia and somebody just tweets at us. If you follow us on Twitter, first person to get it, or maybe we throw names in a hat.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go to Bailey. Nothing against Bailey, but she seems to win everything on
everything.
Twitter.
Shout out to Bailey. She wins everything. She really does.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to meet her, but I mean, she's gotten trips and giveaways and all that. So
she might be here this weekend. Shout out to Bailey.
Yeah. So yeah, I've seen her come out for the. She's come out with Max Clark and some of the other Twitter groups to Los Sal. I didn't get the chance to meet them. They just wanted to meet Ed Burghardt.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to meet the chart caller.
I think Robin got a shout out, like Good Night Robin or something.
Yeah, Robin. I think Charles B.
Yeah.
That he's always watching Los Sal, a fellow follower. Jose Munez.
Yeah.
Deb Martin,
yep.
She stays up late, so we got a lot of deserving people.
Shout out to Zach Weber or Weaver.
Yes.
What did we agree on, Weaver or Weber?
I think Weber.
Weber?
I'm not sure. That's what I say.
He needs to make his way down to Los Al.
Yeah, just next time I told him, you know, why don't you guys come down to the press box? So you, I don't have lice or anything. It's okay. You can come down and meet me. It might not be as exciting as watching Ed Burghardt call a race, but at least I get to say hello.
Hey, come up to our little VIP suite out here. We can hang out as well.
Yeah, maybe one of them can come on in the Los Ponies studio here to be a guest on the podcast.
Hey, it's when you get into the Los Ponies studio, it's an exclusive studio upstairs up here, Elsa. All right, guys, so we'll see you next week. 2 million trials. Looking forward to it.
All right, bye, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.